I started following Ryan Hymas on Facebook several years ago. We knew each other through a couple of mutual friends, and this last year was just fascinating. He started going up to this local reservoir in northern Utah with a handful of people, and as the weather got colder and colder, they were jumping into the ice water. Well, that got a little bit trickier once the ice started to freeze over, so I started seeing these guys up there every Sunday bringing axes, picks, chainsaws, whatever it took to drill essentially a 10 by 6 foot hole in the ice. And over the course of 6-7 months, they went from having 6 people to well over 100 people gathering there every Sunday. What were they doing? Well, we're going to find out more in this episode, but essentially healing addiction, healing emotional trauma, all through the ice. I nickname it Church of the Ice, and this has been an incredible movement to watch, and I'm so excited for you guys to learn more about Ryan and what they are doing. And if you're not in northern Utah and you don't have the ability to go up to the ice water and plunge, we're going to talk about how you can benefit from the cold water and cold exposure in this episode, something that I'm obviously very, very passionate about if you follow my work as well. So get ready to be inspired. This is an emotional episode I think that everyone can resonate with, because I think in one form or fashion, we are all dealing with something ourselves. This is a beautiful episode. Buckle your seatbelt, take some notes, and we'll see you on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Hymas. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Brock Cannon Podcast. I'm your host and so excited to be joined today by Ryan Hymas. I hope I'm saying that right, Ryan, your last name.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, fantastic. So it's so funny in today's day and age, you know, oftentimes we meet people through social media, through mutual friends. Sometimes we don't even know how in the hell we end up meeting someone, but we end up having these beautiful connections. And you know, Ryan and I have a lot in common. The first thing is we're from the same state, grew up in the same area, and share a love for cold water and its healing benefits. So today is going to be all about kind of healing through the cold, healing through cold exposure, healing through the cold water. We're going to talk a lot about recovery, how to really work through addictions. And believe me, we all have addictions, folks. We're going to get more into that in this episode and just have a beautiful conversation. I've been admiring Ryan from afar. What he's been doing is absolutely nothing short of incredible. And we're going to talk about what he's been doing today. So Ryan, welcome to the show.
Cool. Thanks so much. I've been super excited, man. The same thing you said, you know, when I started seeing some of your stuff on social media, I've just drawn. I feel like that these days, like a magnet to people that are growing. I just want to surround myself with them. I saw on a tangent, one of my friends on Facebook the other day said, you know, they like, it's so negative, I've got to get off of this Facebook, it's destroying my attitude every day. And I wanted to say something like, you know, you can control that. Like your feed is, yeah. You get to choose what's on your feed. And it's a good metaphor for life, really, in that you get to choose what you surround yourself with. You can, like, my feed on Facebook and other social media is, every morning when I wake up, I scroll through and it's just like positivity, people growing. And that's, so I'm just surrounding myself with it. And when I see stuff that's, you know, not necessarily good for my soul or whatnot, I just take it off. And same in my life. I try to take a little bit of the negativity off, add a little bit more positivity. And like incrementally over the last year, I've seen change, you know, but it was just little incremental, taking a little negativity off, adding a little positivity. And then here we are. I feel good.
I love it, man. That's a beautiful way to start the conversation. I think I might have to extract that as a quote from the show, is that you control your feed. And that's a great metaphor, man. Absolutely nailed it. Well, I love it. And I want to get into your story a little bit. For those that aren't super familiar, and beyond what I'll have as an introduction in this episode, tell us just a little bit more about yourself, because you didn't always start off in a positive environment. So tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, I mean, 8 years ago, I was I had my first little baby, little 5 month old, and I was 16 years into a heroin and really anything addiction, anything that could stop my head. That, you know, from heroin to, I mean, alcohol was always there. Any chemical. I mean, I, you know, found myself huffing gas a few times, which was like something I never thought I'd be doing any of this stuff. I grew up in a family in Utah that doesn't do drugs, you know, and alcohol. I'm the only one out of all my relatives that's ever had an issue with it, but so far. But anyway, eight years ago, my wife took my baby, left me. I was unemployable. I overdosed. I lost my job. My mom came and picked me up. I mean, there's a whole long backstory of drug addiction and how that all went down. But I'd been to previous rehabs, three rehabs altogether. At the end there, it was an obvious, the last 5 years I was trying to quit and couldn't at that point, you know? Broken essentially. And thought I assumed that that's where I was headed, was early death. And I didn't see any other way out of it. So, my wife left me, I went to treatment, had some spiritual experiences, and then everything changed. I'm living, I've got 7.5 years clean now, we're told about some promises that happen and stuff when you get clean and have a psychic change. And I've had all those promises come true. I got three little kids now, 3, 5, and 7 year old, still with my wife. I'm employable. I'm the director of admissions at a company called I Am Recovery, based out of Lehi, Utah, it's not a job even. It's just getting to help people in recovery, get into recovery. And then I'm a CEO of a company called Swan, which is essentially a work program for folks that are in recovery so that they have a safe, clean place to work where they're also getting support during the day. So if they're, you know, these guys are brand new in recovery, if they're, you can't, at some normal jobs, you can't go in and tell your boss, struggling thinking about heroin today. That's frowned upon at mm-hmm. most corporate positions. And so, but here that it's a support group. It's the same reason things like AA and NA and these support groups work. They just have full on support during, you know, those 8 hours when they're working during the day. And then the idea is to get them to the next level, get them out of our company and into something that they're passionate about, and just trying to help people take those next steps. But totally different world than where I was at 8 years ago. I was just suicidal, you know, back then. And I had no idea what was right around the corner. You know, I have everything, everything I need, you know? So.
That's an incredible story, man. You know, as one that's dealt with addiction in my own way, in different ways, you know, looking back, yeah. I think we've all, you know, we all ask ourselves, what are we running from? You know, why are we trying to numb that pain? And looking back, have you ever figured out or feel like you figured out, I guess it's always an ongoing process of self-discovery, but have you ever figured out, like, what were you running from? And I don't know if your story is like me growing up in Utah in a very religious culture, religious family, yeah. You were kind of the black sheep, maybe it sounds like myself. Yeah. So where was the pain for you? If you don't mind me asking, if you feel like you've kind of discovered that over the years now.
No, you can ask anything at all, man. I I've thought about that sometimes. Some people that I work with in recovery, like their pain is very clear to them. It's like they had trauma, they had, lots of times abuse situations. Like I grew up in right on the mountain up in Centerville, if you know where that is. I mean, like a nice little childhood. Like me and my friends were just playing on the mountain, and I was playing music, and for I don't know is the short answer what where that pain came from. I've tried to dive into it a little bit and see what it was. It seems there was just a void. Somehow there was this void. I don't know if it was, I don't know, feeling like I wouldn't be able to step into. I mean, my parents, they appeared perfect, maybe, and I think maybe there was a level of I'll never be able to be like that. It was, but I think there's a lot of stuff. I mean, the first time I had I look at pictures of when I was a little kid, and there's just a nervousness about me. Like all the other kids in the picture are smiling, and I've got a nervous face, and almost all the pictures, it looks like that. I just had a general nervousness about life, and I think probably even about like the afterlife, even as a little kid, scared about, and some of the religious stuff, scared if I'm not going to get to where they're going to get. And so, the first time I had a drink, I felt, I mean, I remember me and my buddy, and we didn't know how much to drink. We bought a bottle of vodka, and we shared it. We were like, well, I'll drink half and you drink half. And so we drank, half a bottle each of vodka, and he immediately started throwing up in a garbage can right there, down in my parents' basement. But I remember having a clear, conscious thought of, I feel whole. I feel it. I even said at the time, I said, I'm going to do this every day. That was how quickly, which the point is, like, alcohol did so, it worked for me. It did something for me. It medicated me, and whatever that impending doom that I lived with as a kid, all of a sudden I felt free and just able to. I remember we ran up and down the street, like I was talking to people, all the neighbors, which they then called my parents, but I was so excited though. I felt I mean, I was drunk, but I also felt just whole as a, and it worked for me for a long time. I was a musician sort of in my past, in my 20s, and I all through my 20s, drugs and alcohol and music were all tied in together, and it worked until it didn't work anymore. And then with the sickness, and anytime you get into, I mean, alcoholism can be just as destructive as a heroin addiction, but anytime you get into opiates and meth and some of those harder chemicals, I mean, the addiction, the enjoyment really starts going down, and it becomes more about just trying to get level, trying to not be sick. I mean, you just can't function. If you're a legit heroin addict like I was, I mean, I don't get up unless I get my medicine. I mean, it's essentially medicine at that point to make it so that you're not sick and so that you can show up. And I mean, I was trying to, I never wanted to be a drug addict husband, and I had these lines in the sand that I won't cross. I'll never be a drug addict husband. That came, you know, with my first wife and got divorced, and I said, I'll never do that again. And it came again and got married. And then I said, I'll never be a drug addict dad. Like that's just the lowest of the low. I want to be a dad. I want to be a good dad. And then that line came and I crossed it, you know, because at the time I felt like I've got responsibilities. I can't be sick. So I've got to maintain. And mm-hmm. and then it went until a lot of people stepped in and like my wife, if my wife wouldn't have, she drew her line in the sand, I think, which was, she'd been willing to put up for it, with it for 6 years. She was with me during the addiction part. But once we had this little girl, she, wasn't willing to, you know, risk this little girl's safety, which thank God, you know, I loved this little girl, but I was, you know, using and, you know, holding her on the couch and I would start to nod off. And, we're real lucky that my wife was there to keep our baby safe from me. Yeah. And she took baby and left me and said, you know, get your shit together or we love you, but you can't be here, you know?
Yeah.
And so, after a few, I remember my mom coming to get me. I tried to run and jump over the fence, but I couldn't make it over the fence. And, and she threw me in the car and, I'm sure it looked pretty sad to the neighbors, but, anyway, she got me in the car and a little bit more of drama with running away from one more treatment center and then ending up in another one, where I really, I just had some spiritual experiences. And I really had in that last treatment center, I just alone with myself in a room at night, had a spiritual experience that, I felt like I had a psychic change. Like I woke up in a different state, is all I can say in it. And it's, you know, the thing is now, you know, I was getting, and I'm just going to ramble and, cut me off if I need to be cut off. But, you know, I was getting my hair cut yesterday, cause I wanted to look good, but then I wore a hat anyway. But the haircut lady was asking me, it seems like it comes up, I'm talking about the hairdresser about, drug addiction, which I love talking about with people because everybody these days has somebody in their circle. And she had some questions, which I was happy to answer. I love it. But she was asking me if, you know, so do you have to fight that every day? You have to fight this drug addiction? And I said, I don't. It's been lifted. It's been like, it's a non-issue for me. You know, it's crazy. There's a bottle of wine sitting over on my counter because my wife drinks like a normal person and she'll have a glass. I mean, it's probably been there for 6 months which makes no sense to me. Because when, I mean, if we had a bottle back when I was drinking, it didn't have time. It was gone. And so, but she drinks, you know, like normal people, I suppose, like a little bit every few weeks. But the issue is like, I don't walk past that bottle every day and think like, how much is in there? I wonder if I could have a sip and have to, the point is I don't have to fight it anymore. It's lifted from me. Which I'm super grateful for, but it also, that's because I'm doing stuff. I have to be actively, like that will go away. If I don't keep actively doing on the daily, the things you know that work for me, that I know it'll come back with a vengeance. And before you know it, I'll be drinking that and putting cranberry juice in it or something. Because it's only lifted, you know, it says in our, you know, it says in some of the recovery literature, that you have a daily reprieve, based on your spiritual condition, you know? And so I do feel like that I get a daily reprieve based on if I'm keeping myself spiritually fit, which spiritually doesn't at all mean, as you know, you know, any sort of religious. In fact, on the contrary, for me, it means it's not religious at all. And it's, in fact, changed over. It's an ongoing thing of, you know, what my belief system has changed. But I have to be doing something to maintain that. I'll tell you, when I was, because it hasn't always been that way, you know, even, you know, I've been clean 7.5 years, August 12th will be 8 years. And at about year 5, I found myself clean and sober and miserable. And, and it was, I'd quit doing, you know, at the beginning, really those first few years, and I started working in recovery those first few years, and that got me on fire trying to help other people. And, but it had sort of plateaued at year 5 where I was, you know, I was overworking myself. I'd started this company where it was a construction company for folks in recovery, but I just burned myself out driving guys to different jobs every day. And, and I was right on the edge of, and I knew I couldn't use anymore. And I know what happens if I, you know, pick up, and I know what happens for me when I drink. And so I knew that wasn't an option, but I was suicidal at 5 years clean. And I feel like I just cracked in that I knew I had to change something. You know, I'd always done just 12-step based programs, which I love. I think they saved my life, going to AA and NA and things of that nature. And, you know, working, all I did though for my recovery at that point was I worked the 12 steps, I saw a sponsor, and I went to meetings. And that was, all of a sudden, I realized I had to make it personal. I had to make it, I had to add more in and make it personal for me and my recovery, instead of, I don't want to say staying in the box, because a lot of people that, I mean, whatever people do for their program that works is great. But for me personally, I found I had to add more. And that's when I started, I think, listening. I feel like, and you know more about this than I do, but I feel like we already know our soul or heart or whatever it is knows what we need. We're walking around searching for things, and we're carrying it with us. If we can listen to what we need, you know, it was about that same time. This is a dumb part of the story, but, like I ate a, you know, I never I wasn't raised eating, you know, healthy, like fruits and vegetables. I wouldn't say, sorry, mom, if she sees this, but, it was, you know, it feels like a lot of maybe plasticky or type foods. And so I, about five years clean, I ate this kiwi, I remember, and I felt my body say, thank you. Yeah. Like, it sounds dumb, but it, at the time I was like, huh? Like I did something good, and I felt my body say, yes, you need this. So I started, you know, eating a little bit better, and I started running just a mile, not much, like very incremental, a mile at night around my neighborhood. And I, again, felt my body say, or my soul or whatever, say, thank you. Like, you need this. And I mean, this is stuff I remember telling a buddy I went to high school with. I was like, man, did you know this stuff's all connected? Like, you eat good food and you're like able to have a better spiritual connection. It's like all tied in. And he's like, yeah, man, we learned about that in grade school. Like, we all know that. Like, you, when you eat good and you like exercise and you get outside and you like, it's, yeah, we know that, man. You're late to the game. And I really am, you know. I'm 42 years old. And so I'm a 40-year-old, who was just figuring out some of this stuff that I didn't learn maybe as a kid, that it's all tied in, like, eating good, exercising, putting good input in, you know, what are you, I mean, I spent years only listening to sad music, and I wonder why I was sad all day long. And it's like, I'm only, I mean, this is very simple stuff that my kids understand now better than I did it as a 40-year-old. Like, you're putting good in and then good comes out. If these days, especially if you're only watching either one side or the news channel all day long, and I know some people like we all do that are, if I'm only watching it like this, like, that becomes my reality, you know? And
yeah.
And I think that that's all that's happening. But then when you, if you can step outside, and I mean, you know, we seem to think everybody who's not on our side is against us. But when I walk around my neighborhood or go to the grocery store, like, they're all good people. Like, I could connect with any one of them, despite which way they go or whatnot. So anyway, I really started trying to listen. That's been the theme of the last year, 2 years, is listening to what I already know that I need. And that's where the cold dip polar plunge came in. I'll just keep talking. Is that cool?
Yeah. Let me just pause and say one thing you just totally said, I think is so critical for people to understand, that just because something is a simple concept doesn't mean that they're doing it. And, you know, yeah, like, you're right on there, man. There's thousands and thousands of people that have this knowledge, and just because someone has the knowledge doesn't mean they're doing it. And it's like the simplest things that make them feel better, unfortunately, are the things that are neglected the easiest as well. And so
yeah,
I think, you know, as you're saying, like, you know, I was a latecomer with this, and like, it, you know, took me till I was 40 to figure this out. Like, I think some people never figure it out. So congratulations, man, for just implementing the simple, so to speak, because it's often the most profound. And I think also one thing that you just said that I think is huge is you started listening more. And I want to just echo that out to everybody listening or watching, because it is in listening more, getting quiet, clearing out the noise a little bit. And like, in today's world, like, we have to create space to actually be quiet. I was thinking this morning when I was coming out of my breath work that it's so easy actually to be busy, to just jam pack your calendar and go, 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 and like look productive to society.
But
it's actually more difficult to like clear time away to be completely present, where you're not just like trying to meditate, but you're thinking about your to-do list, you know, like actually clear that time away to listen. So that's absolutely profound, man. I really appreciate all that. And I want to get into how the cold and these polar plunges have evolved. So tell us the story of how it started. And then, you know, I may ask you a few questions in between, but I'd love to hear more on this.
Yeah. And man, I 100% agree with what you're saying. I'll say real quick, well, exactly what you said. Lots of times I think, okay, I want to keep growing. I want to keep being productive. And sometimes I mistake that for being busy and doing all this stuff, when really some of the best work that I've done is when I live right on the mountains here, a little bit south now. And I mean, yesterday I took my 3-year-old up on the mountain and we sat and he hit a rock with a stick. And that was probably the most growth I've done this month, was sitting with my son on the mountain without cell service and just being quiet with him. That was, I mean, I grew yesterday doing that. And so I have to keep remembering that as well. But so, you know, again, trying to listen to my soul, or whatever you'd call it. There was a guy, Shay, he's a coach at our outpatient program. And I mean, he's the one that got me running, because we had an accountability thing where we would text each other each night, how much we'd ran and what else we'd done. And that really helped, having an accountability partner, somebody that I knew was, but the second piece of that was no judgment. Like, and that's, you know, up at these polar plunges, that's the only rule we have, is there's no judgment. So if you didn't run, you don't go into deficit by giving yourself that guilt and shame, because I will live in that, you know. So if I don't run one night, that's okay, you know, but man, I will just beat myself up and cause more harm than the actual not running caused. So, so I really have to be focused on the no judgment side of things. But so this guy, he was at our work and I heard him talking. He'd done it a couple, I think he did it kind of off and on. And he was talking to somebody about going up and doing, we were calling it cold dip. It was thinking back, it was, I mean, back in when June or something, and it wasn't super cold really, but anyway, I heard him talking about it and I was like, don't look at him. I don't want to, I made a conscious decision to not like make eye contact. Cause I didn't want to do it. And I felt something pulling me towards doing it. As soon as he said it, I felt there was something there with that water. And so I avoided him for like 2 weeks. And then the next time I saw him, I was like, what are you doing up there, man, with this? You're going up in the water. And he's like, yeah, we go up and try to do a little breath work and go in the water and do it, you know. And I was like, all right, I'm going. And so I went with him, and it did something in that, you know, this, I, even with the, you know, drugs and alcohol removed, I've got this depression that if I'm not careful can be debilitating, anxiety that, you know, I just go down the rabbit hole of the, what could happen to my, you know, family and kids, and the weight and responsibility of being a dad and trying to provide for them and keep them happy. And that water, I mean, it seemed like it's, I mean, it just slapped it right out of me. Like it was,
yeah.
I felt like I got a reset on my brain. What I found is like, I'm not able to talk myself out. Like I can sit here, you know, and tell myself everything's great. Everything's fine. Why are you freaking out? Don't be depressed, Ryan. Like, don't be depressed. Don't have anxiety. And I cannot seem to talk myself out of it. But the water, when I hit it, it seems to just reset my mind. And then we were, you know, we get out and do a meditation, which I felt was just as important as going in the water. And so I just started doing it every week, and a few of my friends would come and we'd go up and do a meditation, and it just started being a, you know, there's a few aspects of it that I liked was the connection with the people. Because, you know, they say the opposite of addiction is connection. It isn't just being clean. It's connecting with other people. We crave for it. You know, we need it. And as humans, for whatever reason. And so there's that connection piece of showing up. Like the only people, you know, we go up every Sunday at 10 a.m. Up at Tibble Fork Reservoir up in American Fork. But like the only people that show up with the idea of jumping in cold water, like those guys are beasts. They're a little crazy and a little, they want to grow. Like the only people that show up are people that want to grow. And so that's a part of it for me. It's like, these people showing up to grow together. And then the water itself, slapping, giving me that mental reset every week. I've tended, you know, Sundays used to be my worst day because I would, you know, you have this day off, but you're thinking about Monday. And Monday would come, and Monday was never that bad. Monday was always doable, but I already ruined 1/7 of my week by thinking about what was going to happen on Monday morning when it, right. when I didn't need to spend that time if I would have been in the now, you know. And so anyway, so I a few of my friends and me, we would go up and do it, and it just sort of, I think more people felt something. Like I would invite some friends and post that, hey, I'm going up here to do this, and a few more friends started coming, and I think they felt the same way that I did, in that it called to them, and when they did it, it was super empowering to do it. And, and this connection and this, I mean, the, you know, anyway, it just kind of kept growing with people, feeling this call to the water. And, last Sunday, you know, I've gone almost every week, you know, for the last, since June. And last Sunday we had over 100 people there. And I mean, which frankly, we're all out on the ice and we heard this big crack, because we're starting to get a little, we got a lot of people out there. It's been great. We've been, we haven't had any issues. It's been safe, but we, you know, now we're going up, you know, before we, there was a dock that goes down and we used to just jump off the dock and then we climb the mountain and do a meditation. Now it changed. 1 week we showed up, I don't know why I didn't know this was a possibility, but it's just ice. And so then we started, it expanded where we got like two of our good guys that come every week. They got chainsaws and I got an axe. And now it takes us about 45 minutes to chop this 6 foot by 6 foot hole in the ice, and maybe a little bit bigger, maybe 10 by 10 by 6 or something. But it takes us 45 minutes of hacking through this thing. A few weeks ago, it was like a cartoon, man. He was standing on the ice that he was chopping with a chainsaw, sort of cutting a circle around himself. I was just waiting for him to to go down. But I got a few pictures of that. But I almost love the process now of us. I mean, since the ice came, it's just like the highlight of my week. My Sundays are better doing this with these guys, and which has made my Mondays better, which has made my Tuesdays better, which has made my whole cycle better, because I'm doing it, and not just the polar plunge. There's other, like I have to have about 15 things that I'm trying to fill that. My void is large. And you know, whatever that pain is still there. And if I don't, I'm never going to get there. You know, I've got to keep, it's a daily thing that I've got to keep doing. I've got to do the exercise. I've got to do, you know, the nutrition stuff. I've got the polar plunge is huge for me. The, you know, talking to other folks in recovery is a big piece for me. The connection, the quietness, there's just a bunch of tools in the tool bag that I have to utilize in order to stay, for me, I feel like even alive. It's, cause I know where like the darkness and the addiction take me, and I think it'll take me out if I'm not careful. And so, but we hacked through that ice for like 45 minutes, and, people come in and, you know, we kind of go in like about four or five at a time and everybody jumps in. And, I mean, it's, you know, I was just looking last night on, this young lady's post. And it's, I mean, it's so wild when some people hit that water. I mean, a lot of people cry, you know, when they hit that water. It is like, it just, boom, it brings, like, you can't hide anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you're,
yeah,
it just, everything comes out. And, but I was reading on this girl's post last night, she's saying, she's struggling with X, Y, and Z. And she's like, I look so forward to Sundays going up and doing this thing with other people that, I mean, there's a lot of love out there and a lot of connection and a lot of, I mean, people just supporting people, like cheering for you when maybe, you know, if you haven't had anybody cheer for you in a minute, to go in the water and have people be like, yeah, like you're doing something super hard to on a, you know, to go in this ice water. It's scary for them and it's hard to do, and they do it and they get cheered for, and then we're, you know, helping them out, and they're with people that love them. And I mean, that's the main thing, is people are loving them. I, you know, the thing I found now that my body knows what to expect when I hit the water, because you know, at the beginning, it was just, you go into shock, essentially, you know, as you know. And but I think the main point of the whole thing for me is, like, I'm in the now. When you hit that water, like, you are in the now. Like, I don't think about my taxes. I don't think about, like, my fridge. like you don't, there's no way you can think about what's happening with the ice maker in your fridge when you hit that water, because all you can do is breathe, which is, and I found most of my problems, all my problems, either are coming from depression in the past, thinking about, you know, things that I wish would have gone one way or the other, or anxiety in the future, thinking about what's going to come. Usually the now is okay. I don't have any problems right here, right now. You know, like right this second, I'm just sitting here talking to a good dude on a Zoom call. I'm not thinking about what's coming up the rest of the day and the, you know, tasks I've got to complete. I'm in the now, and the now is good. And so I found when I hit that water, I'm in the now. And the more things I can do, I mean, it really changed my brain to realize that after the first few times, because I've tried to implement that polar plunge now into the other things in my life. Like, it's the same feeling, you know, when I'm playing like catch with the little ball with my 3-year-old, I'm in the now. It's I love, you know, cause I'm just with him watching that ball come back and forth to me. And I'm happy. It's when I start tripping out about what's coming up or what's in the past, when I start to suffer. And so I'm trying to implement that polar plunge aspect of it into the rest of my life. And it seems to be working. I just feel, I feel whole for, you know, the first time in my whole life, just, I'm enough, you know, I feel okay, which I can't imagine, you know, maybe there's people probably that have felt like this their whole life. I can't imagine having felt like, whole your whole life. You know, for me, it's never been there. There's been this, like I say, this overwhelming doom, that's blanketed my existence, and it feels lifted. I feel whole, you know, and this, the polar plunge and the connection with these people, and my recovery, these, they're all aspects of it, but it's been wonderful up there on Sundays. I mean, just good people. Like, I really look forward to them. They're all pushing me. They've got me, I'm going to run I've never ran a race or anything. They've got me doing on Saturday just a 5K, but there's a polar plunge at the end of it. So you run this 5K and then you do this other. So we're going to do that Saturday. And then Sunday we're going to do our normal polar plunge. But it really has become, I mean, one guy brought up his fishing tent last week with heaters inside of it, so that if people were struggling when they got out, and they can jump in there. I've got this other friend who's amazing at sound baths, and he brought out his whole spread and did it up on the ice last week. And so to have that sound,
powerful.
Kind of, yeah. Right on the ice when you're in the water, that added a whole other aspect to it. Folks are bringing, you know, hot chocolate and stuff this week for, we've got a crew out there this week that's going to do a cleanup, because some people have been having fires up there and trashing it. And I went up this week and did some cleanup, but we're going to do that again and try to make it a little bit nicer than when we found it. And so it's just, I'm just surrounded, man. I'm just like surrounded. And I feel like you're in that connection as well. You know, like you said, we've never met in person, but when I saw what you were doing and see what you're doing on the daily, like, we're connected. I feel connected to you, which is, I mean, what a great time of technology when you can find people that you can be connected to that you've never met. And I think there's a lot of us out there that are, this, again, probably common, other people know this already, but like, there are people just trying to grow. And if you can find those people and connect to them, you can just add to your list of tools, you know, to I don't know. There's just, I have to surround myself with people that are trying to grow. And I think I've done that this last few years, and it's changed my existence. I'm happy. That's it. I mean, I'm happy. You know, I still struggle. You know, you can ask my wife, I'm sure she'll tell you that there's still struggle happening, but I've got some tools now, and I know that it's possible to be happy, which I didn't know that 8 years ago. You know, I didn't know that it was even, I just thought you suffered and you died. And that was it. That was my theory of life, was pain, suffer, die. And I almost missed out. You know, I was just this close to missing out on this whole other existence that I didn't know was possible. So I'm super grateful for what I have and the connections. And anyway,
it's incredible, man, to see what you guys have done. I'm going to try to find a way to, it's like, you guys have so many photos that capture this now that I don't know which ones to choose, but I want to find a way to, you know, link to the show notes somehow. You know, you guys had it looked like a drone got some footage now, just like this sacred hole in the ice almost, and all these people around it. And, you know, you can just feel that. And what I loved about something you said just in the comments on one of the Facebook posts is someone was like, who's in charge or something? And you're like, well, that's the beautiful thing. There's no leader. We're just all doing this together, collectively breaking through our own stuff. And I thought that was just so incredible. I wanted to ask you, Ryan, now that you've seen all these people come through, what have you seen? Like, have there been people that have been extremely fearful in the beginning? And if so, how did they feel after? And what did they say were the biggest things that they've kind of been breaking through?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are scared when it you know, it's the weirdest thing. For whatever reason, our brain, I mean, and these are people that have done some dangerous activities in their lives, you know, that and for whatever reason, our brains connect cold. There's a real fear around that cold, and some real tough people I've seen have been shaking, you know, before they go in. And the main thing I've seen, you know, is when they get out, they just feel so empowered. I mean, a couple of these young ladies that have just blown my mind the last few weeks, they've had real struggles. There's a couple single moms that I'm thinking of in particular that they've just had these struggles, but to know that they can control, they're in control of their fate and of what's happening to them. And so to do something like this, that's hard, and have this shared experience as well with all these people. I mean, they're empowered when they get out. I've seen them like the next days, and they've said this to me, like the same way I felt, that their weeks have gone better because they know that they're capable, you know, and they know that they're, like, we tell them up there, like, you are enough, you know, which for our population of folks in recovery, they haven't heard that in a while, you know, maybe especially from themselves, you know, to know that they're you know, our drug addiction doesn't define us, our jobs don't define us, our like, you are everything that you need to be, and you're okay, you know. And to watch them come out, I mean, they're just empowered is the word, because I mean, they just seem like totally different people. They're brave. They come out brave, you know, and it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible, man. And I obviously relate, and without, you know, not to recap my story to impress anyone, but just to illustrate that I completely understand this. Cause I remember the day I went in the cold water for the very first time, which was February 13th of last year. It hasn't been that long. Feels like a long time ago, but you know, I get that crippling anxiety where you can't control the heart beating out of the chest. You're so in your mind that you just, you don't know what to do. I've had suicidal thoughts too. You know, like I've been that dark, and to feel powerless and then to literally just go in the cold water, doesn't really matter how long, you know, and to come out, that's exactly how I would define it, is you feel empowered again. And I'll never forget that. And the people that, you know, have gone in once or 10 times, like they will never forget these moments because the body remembers this. You know, it's not natural to jump in the freezing cold water. It does, you know, provide that shock, that adrenaline release immediately. And we never forget it. And I think that's what's so beautiful is these, I totally understand on every level. You walk out and you think, what, next time when stressors come to you during the week, it's like, I did something really, really fucking hard last Sunday or whatever, you know, I jumped in the ice water, you know, like most people don't do that. Like, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. And what's so beautiful about the cold is it doesn't pump you up in false arrogance, because I think you've seen this, you know, all of us are trying to get out of our body. We're reaching for external validation from something to not feel what's in the body. And then when we go back in the body and empower it the way it's supposed to be empowered, it's a confidence that's a pure confidence. And that's what I think is so beautiful. And I see it in the pictures that you guys post. These people are breaking through, man. It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The, I mean, it, you know, there's, I mean, we've had, even kids, I don't know if you've seen in some of those pictures, like, I mean, these little kids going in that, I mean, they're like my heroes, man, the kids of this thing. And, you know, some of them have been struggling with some stuff in their youth, and they felt it. They, you know, they've asked their parents who were coming, like, I think they got called to it. And to see these brave little kids go in the water and come out and be so proud of themselves, it's I mean, it's just life changing for me, maybe more than them watching them all, and just to be a part of it. Because, you know, that is the thing, we don't have a, you know, one time we had someone come and sort of led it. You know, he was a Wim Hof method instructor, and he led it and made us sign waivers and stuff. And we didn't connect to it in that. We don't want it to be like a class. We want everybody there brings their gifts, you know, and it's a shared experience. And people find their roles, you know, whether it's helping us chop through the ice, you know, because I we need help. I've got my elbow from hacking that ice, is I got a elbow issue now. And but these other guys, like last week, a couple of our big guys were gone, and so this one guy steps in and helps chop in. This other guy, he's found his role. He's this big, huge guy, and he's found his role of like helping pull people out. He just plucks them right out of the water. And and some people are taking their roles in you know, documenting it for the people that are in the water. JC that goes with us, she takes these awesome pictures of everybody so that they can have that, so that if you start to forget, you can look back and see what you've done. And and so everybody's kind of just finding, I mean, our sound bath guy, everybody, it's just a group. It's just a group of amazing people getting together each week. You know, and not to, you know, I don't want a future trip, but I need this. I kind of hope it just keeps continuing and evolve. You know, my brother said, what are you going to do in the summer? And I said, evolve, because we're just going to, I hope that it continues to evolve into something, because it seems like it's helping a lot of people, and it's helping me. I need these people, like I need their connection. If I want to stay alive, that's the trick. If I want to stay alive, I have to keep growing. And so I just have to keep surrounding myself with people. And this is proven to be an awesome outlet for that. So,
yeah. Well, I have full confidence that you guys are on to something special and it will continue. And, you know, the reality is like that water is still pretty damn cold, even in the summer.
Yeah.
It's cold enough to do the job to reset and snap out of your shit in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you guys are going to be just fine. It'll continue to grow. You know, I keep thinking how amazing it would be to, you know, see that start to spread, little gatherings like this all across the country. You know, they do this in other countries, you know, the Norwegians where it's really, really cold. I mean, it's pretty common to just drill a hole in the ice, get a couple of aspen logs there and they all just jump in. In Siberia, there's men's clubs that all through the winter take cold dips. I mean, that's cold. Siberia, are you kidding
me? Yeah,
that's
right.
Cold. But they do it. And I think there's been cultures around the world, but we haven't thought about that here in the Western world as much because we're so used to being comfortable now. And what people don't realize is that that empowerment is on the other side of their comfort zone. So you guys are really on to something, man. I can't wait to next time I'm there to get out and finally come and join you guys. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, we would love to have you.
What would you say to someone that has seen what you guys are doing, and maybe they live near you and are able to attend in person or not, but what would you say to someone that is contemplating using the cold as a tool to empower themselves, get rid of anxiety, help curb depression, all these things, but they're nervous? What would you say to that person?
I mean, you know, we have some folks that come up there and, I mean, the main thing is this is a group of non-judgment. So some people come up and they don't go in the water. You know, they come up there, you know, maybe we take some baby steps and you just talk to the people that are up there. It's just good people to talk to. And then, and I tell them like, there's no judgment. If you want to stand up here and just be a part of the experience, and then that's okay. We love you. And that's enough. If you want to go in the water, you can go in, you know, some folks go right in, right out, and that's okay. There's no judgment. Yeah. We love you. And whatever you can do, if you want to go in and stay, you know, we try to stay in about 5 minutes. Some folks stay a little longer and we try to discourage that, but like for too long, but you know, it starts to get a little nervous when they're in there for nine minutes, but so, you know, if you want to come in and stay in, then we love you for that. And there's no judgment. It's like, if you need a safe, like this is a safe place to be with people that care about you. I mean, they're everybody up there. It is such a group that will just engulf you with love. So if you need love, come. And I think we've seen that. It just seems to be growing, scaling up every week, because I think people can feel that this is a group of people that are just going to love them for who they are and without judgment, you know. And so we welcome everybody. You know, like about 90% of us I think are in recovery, but there's a group of adventure, I think they were on some Utah adventure page, and their group has started coming up now. And it's, so you don't have to be in recovery to come join us. It's, you know, we're all the same. We're all just trying to grow and surround ourselves with good people. And so anybody's welcome. And the more the merrier. Bring your gifts and show up.
It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. I hope to continue to see this thing grow and expand and maybe even start to spread around the country and around the world. You know, just this church of the ice, you know, it's it's beautiful, man.
Yeah. I think a lot, I mean, people have said that it does feel what I would want. You know, I don't love going in and sitting sometimes in actual church. To those that do that, if it works, that's great. But for me, like the whole point is to have a spiritual experience, and I'm getting that every week. And so I'm filled, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, man, thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your gifts with us on the podcast today. This has been one of my favorites so far. I can honestly say that. I think there's going to be a lot of people inspired by this. What's the best way for listeners and people watching to connect with you and continue to follow your journey?
You can connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. Facebook, just Ryan Hymas, and message me, and that's how most people get a hold of me. And I'd love to talk to anybody. So
awesome. Well, I'll have links to your social media there, and people can connect with you. And definitely, at least just to see the photos and be inspired. And you know, for everybody watching or listening, you know, even if you're not in in Utah and you can't go in person to this gathering, you know, start your own. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be anything super dramatic. If you're in California like I am, where it's not that cold, you know, start with a cold shower. With, you know, maybe hopping in an ice bath, or going and dipping in the cold ocean if you're in a warmer place, you know, or warmer, meaning it's not like Miami warm. But the cold is powerful, and start where you can start. And what I really love about what you're doing, man, is just building it out with people, because I think that is the most beautiful thing, the connection and the power of that. And we need that more than ever right now in the world and in the climate that we're in. So, thank you, man, for the work that you're doing. It's fantastic.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate you, man. And like I said, I feel connected to the work that you're doing, and I really look up to you. So my pleasure to be on this. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you again for being on. And thank you everyone for listening today. And love to hear your comments and feedback and what your journey includes as you go forward with this. And we will see you all on the next episode. Thank you, guys. Hey guys, Brock again here. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Ryan as much as I did. You know, the thing that just really, really came through on that episode was how real, authentic, and how humble Ryan is, helping so, so many people, just literally putting his hand out and symbolically pulling them out of the ice water into healing and letting them actually have that journey and that experience. So, such a beautiful story. And again, even if you're not in that area and actually don't have the physical ability to go to that reservoir each Sunday, the Church of the Ice, as I call it, and have that experience, you know, what can you do? Well, I think there's so many things we can do. We can get together with a couple of friends, start doing some breath work, maybe some meditation, maybe taking an ice bath, maybe if you live near the ocean, a cold ocean dip or a lake dip, something safe, something you can do together. But it's healing and it's community. And it's beautiful, and it's something that we all need more of in this very, very isolated day and age that we live in. So, guys, also, please go and do yourself a favor. Follow Ryan on Facebook. I've got the link in the show notes here. You're going to see some absolutely inspiring photos and video footage from their gatherings every single Sunday. It'll literally bring tears to your eyes. It's so, so beautiful. And they're really doing something special. So go ahead and follow Ryan. You'll be inspired and do yourself that favor. Thank you guys so much for listening. If this has been inspiring, please subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you might be listening from, so you can get the latest and greatest coming out. Thank you guys for listening. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on the next episode.